because when we have sick birds, it doesn't matter if it is coccidiosis, if it is a virus such as NDV or a bacteria, let's say mycoplasma, these birds, they do need a immune support, and this requires more nutrients.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. The Poultry Science Association is dedicated to advancing poultry science worldwide. Learn more at poultryscience.org. Anatox, partnering with the world's food producers to develop and deliver innovative programs to efficiently produce safer food. Kemin invites you to optimize poultry health and nutrition. Dive in at kemin.com/poultry. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, where we discuss the latest in poultry nutrition research and industry trends in approximately 10 minutes or less. My name is Sam Rochel. I'm a co-host of the show and associate professor here at Auburn University, and joined by a colleague in our department, Dr. Tina Lopez, who is currently a postdoctoral fellow, who's kind of been in different institutions around the world, but we've been lucky enough to have her here at Auburn for, I guess, a couple of years. So get to know you a little bit better and hear about what you're working on Newcastle, which is not a core nutrition topic, but we will talk a little bit about how nutrition might influence that by the time this is over. So Tina, thanks for joining, and I look forward to talking with you today.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Rochel, for having me. And yes, Newcastle is not a main focus when we talk about nutrition. And I will try my best to try to overlap it with nutrition overall.
Sure. Yeah. So just to start us out with, can you talk a little bit about just Newcastle disease in general, reorient the audience and talk about, you know, how it progresses and how we currently try to control it?
Yeah. So Newcastle is a virus. Now talking about the more virology part, that is kind of boring but to some, but it is a paramyxovirus, and there is a lot of serotypes that exist for this virus that can affect birds. But when we talk about Newcastle disease, we're talking about the serotype 1. So if you heard about avian ortoavulovirus 1, that's Newcastle disease. So there are other classifications too, such as pathotypes. What is the pathotype? Is classified in 4 different pathotypes based on the intracerebral pathogenicity index. So what does that mean? It means that we have types of NDV that are asymptomatic and enteric. So you don't have any symptoms. You have the lentogenic ones. They are that can cause respiratory disease. So navy young birds, and it can be caused by vaccines. So for example, if you deliver a live vaccine such as Lasota to 1-day-old chicks, they can have a vaccinal turnover, a vaccine response with symptoms, okay? But overall, it's not a big problem. The mesogenic one, it causes mortality, like low or no mortality. So it's also not a big problem. And then we have the velogenic. They are the ones that can cause depression. So you have a decrease in the production, like laying eggs or even broilers not gain weight, air gasping. You can have diarrhea, hemorrhage. So, and the most classical ones are the neural symptoms. So birds with paralysis in one wing or one leg only. So those birds end up dying because they can walk and they can reach water and feed. That happens mainly with younger birds, while you can have in the, let's say, especially backyard flocks that you don't have out in or out, that you have birds mixed, different ages mixed, then you will have the young ones having those symptoms, while the old ones are perfectly fine or just having like diarrhea, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So those are the main symptoms. And it can be confounded with avian flu, with metapneumovirus, with bronchitis. So it is important to understand that more than the symptoms, we do have to work with diagnostic tests such as ELISA, PCR, or hemagglutination inhibition assays.
Okay, so as far as I know, your research is not primarily around nutrition, but where is your research specifically? What gaps are you trying to address in this problem of Newcastle's right now?
So the gap that we are trying to fill right now is because when we vaccinate the birds and they later get infected by NDV, by a field strain, the vaccination somehow protects them from showing symptoms and dying, but it does not prevent the viral shedding. So that is the gap we are trying to at least gather information so it can improve vaccine production. And we do this by trying to identify the immune gene expression profile after we vaccinate the birds with different types of NDV vaccines, with different vaccination programs, and see where are the main differences and the main overlaps. Basically, that's where we are right now.
And that shedding is problematic because obviously it increases viral load, so biosecurity risk, but also just if they're shedding, they're probably still, you know, the immune system is reacting to some regard and continued immune activation, which could impact production and growth. Those are the main concerns with the continued shedding of the virus?
Exactly. If the birds share the virus, besides you having these production problems,
yep,
that
sure.
You don't want,
yeah.
If a commercial house, a commercial farm gets NDV, then it needs to be reported right away, and then it will be locked out. And then the main problem is because then you have economic losses. So we do not have it circulating right now here in commercial birds in US or in Brazil, but we have in Middle East, Africa. So for them, this viral shedding problem happens. For us here in the U.S., it's more for game birds, such as we see in California.
Very good. So where do you see the future of research on the immunization piece? How do you think things might change to help control this better?
Good question, Sam. Right now, I think, especially after COVID, We are having a huge advance in vaccine technologies, such as for COVID, we have the mRNA vaccines. That is not something that happens right now with Newcastle disease. And as we mentioned earlier, it is a topic that is really in close to basic research right now, but I really hope that we can find key markers. By markers, I mean genes that are later transformed in proteins that can at least be used to mark immunity in birds. Yeah. So maybe through a rapid test, or but I see the things that we are working right now, I see more being applied as a R&D side.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, to improve vaccines' ability to cause to challenge the immune system and cause a better response.
Feed formulation software is stuck in the past. Most tools haven't evolved beyond basic least cost optimization. A Diet Forge changes that. It's an AI-powered platform with nonlinear ingredient modeling for enzymes and additives, cost per gain and maximum profit optimization, and real-time collaboration like Google Docs for nutrition. Every recommendation is grounded in world-class research, built for modern nutritionists who need more than legacy desktop software can deliver. Work seamlessly with your team and optimize the way modern operations demand. Try DietForge.ai free today. Feed formulation, finally modernized.
So certainly opportunities for different and more advanced technologies on the vaccine side. And then, you know, from my perspective, again, as a nutritionist, always thinking how we can manipulate this. And this is something that you thought about. We know that the nutritional needs of the immune system are often a little bit different than that for growth and production. There's specific nutrients we can change to try to modulate that a little bit. Can you talk a little bit about that?
For sure, Sam. And that's why we do have different nutritional recommendations depending on the font. If we go to NRC, for example, they require a very low amount of vitamin D, for example, for birds. And then if we go to a genetic house broiler manual, they recommend a huge amount. Why? Because when we have sick birds, it doesn't matter if it is coccidiosis, if it is a virus such as NDV or a bacteria, let's say mycoplasma, these birds, they do need a immune support, and this requires more nutrients. And why am I citing vitamin D? Because vitamin D has its classical function, that is like calcium, phosphorus absorption in the small intestines to support bone health. But indirectly, when you support bone health, you're supporting bone marrow, that is the heart of the adaptive immunity. So the nutrition and immunology overlaps right there at vitamin D, because directly talking about how vitamin D acts on immunity, some immune cells like monocytes, they do have vitamin D receptors. And when those vitamin D receptors are activated, those monocytes, they can become then transform into T cells. So then supporting an adaptive immune response, let's say helping vaccination, right? This last part, totally speculative, all right?
Yeah, but true.
This vaccination part, but it's an idea, okay?
Yeah,
talking about innate immunity, then vitamin D can decrease pro-inflammatory interleukins from being secreted. So then you can have less inflammatory symptoms such as depression, or even we can prevent a hyper-inflammatory response to happen within this flock. So can that help with holding on the broiler or laying hen performance? That's something that can be explored.
Outside of the vitamins, do you see some potential for other nutrients outside of vitamin D, maybe other trace minerals? I know this is something that has been
absolutely
looked at. Yeah,
absolutely. What I see right now are microminerals. They also, especially zinc. zinc is well known for supporting immunity, and is used like for decades, especially when we do have stressful situations. And why zinc is so important for innate immunity? Because there is a group of proteins that they are called zinc finger proteins. We don't need to have this in mind. But those proteins, they are part of the first line on viral recognition. And they trigger the immune cascade called interferon type 1. And this cascade ends up producing proteins that have direct antiviral actions. So in that sense, zinc is so important for help birds. Another nutrient that I've seen that is becoming more and more studied regarding immunity is omega-3, especially as fish oil for, especially my understanding is that is being more tested for broilers during oxidative stress situations, such as heat stress, coccidiosis, or even necrotic enteritis challenges. So when I think about nutrition as immune modulator, those are the three main nutrients that come to my mind. But of course, we do have other good antioxidative stress nutrients such as selenium and vitamin E and more and more.
Absolutely. Now, this is something that I have done a little bit of work in and continue to be interested in. You know, we know that those nutrients are there, play important roles. And then, you know, we have to also think when the bird is, you know, challenged at any of these things, sometimes even with vaccination, you know, or any type of inflammation, feed intake goes down. So, you know, then that's playing a role of how much access the birds have to the nutrients as well. So digestibility and then the increased, you know, post-absorptive needs by the immune system. So very dynamic. And, you know, I think we're learning more and we have better tools, like you mentioned, to kind of look at some of these things as well. So, yeah, really exciting stuff. And thank you for sharing this with us today.
Thank you so much, Sam, for inviting me and for having me at this podcast. It was a very interesting talk. I hope I could have brought a little bit of my knowledge to you guys. And yeah, I hope you guys can now dig a little bit more into the nutrition as a immune modulator.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Ty. We really learned a lot and I appreciate it. And for all of you who joined, if you enjoyed this episode and want to catch future episodes, please like and subscribe on whatever platform you're listening. And until next time, this is Sam Rochel signing out on the Poultry Nutrition Black Belt Podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.